there's a beginning. And then
you're listening to 108.9 FM. Adjust your frequencies, fine-tune your mind and brains as you prepare to fall through the trap.
The universal dream is a dream of magic.
You're listening to 108.9 Trapdoor Radio with your host, me, Lloyd Barnes.
Welcome to a brand new podcast secretly disguised as a radio show from me. And before we dive any further, you're probably asking, if you're watching this on my YouTube channel, and then you already know me, you're probably thinking, Lloyd, what are you doing? You host two other podcasts. What's going on? So before we get any further, I host two podcasts. The Magic Podcast with Craig Petty and the Black Art Podcast with Jake Keane. Both of those podcasts are still alive and doing well. Well, maybe I haven't recorded one of those or two of those for quite a while. But that's because for the past 6 months, I've been DIY renovating this 100-year-old house with my wife, Kaylee. And also, Kaylee was pregnant through that process. And we now have a three-month-old baby, as well as another son. So it's been pretty almost darn near impossible to align my schedules with both Jake and Keane to get a weekly time to record podcasts with them, because realistically, I need to be recording at sporadic points of the day. Maybe it's going to be 2 in the morning or 11 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon. So I figured the best thing to do for now, because of all the comments that I keep appearing on my channel asking when is my next podcast coming out, I figured that for the time being, and possibly for the future, I'll use this new platform to stream my conscious from the sawdust between my ears into your brains. Hopefully giving you your weekly fix of what's going on in my thick skull. So with that being said, this is going to be broadcast every Thursday or early hours of Friday morning at 3 a.m. because I'm so heavily in love with and inspired by those old 90s and 80s shortwave late night radio shows. We'd have one host who would be out there talking to the world about the weird, the wacky, and the wonderful, the stuff that can't be broadcast in the middle of the afternoon. And since my main love and focus is magic, this is going to be heavily geared towards creating magic, sharing with you new ideas, talking to you about things that I see throughout the week in terms of like magic news, the industry, new products, and I'll also be sharing with you what I'm up to every single week and sort of a 24 hours or a 7 day in the life overview of what I'm getting up to. Because the question I get asked the most is, what new things am I working on? What new projects do I know about? Who do I know is bringing out new things? And I figured I would happily tell you as much as I can about all the good stuff. So if that sounds like fun to you, make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Music or any other podcast platform, make sure you hit that follow button and the notification bell so you get notified when the new episodes drop at 3 a.m. Here in this sleepy coastal town of Wales. So there's going to be three parts to this episode. The first thing I'm going to do is talk to you about some magic musings, which is going to be a weekly theme. And it's basically, I'll talk to you about a little bit of theory on magic or something that's been on my mind regarding magic. It could be the method to a trick that I'm working on. It could be my thoughts on something that has inspired me. It could be anything. It could be the Ship of Theseus type approach to creating. It could be Pareto principle when it comes to perfecting sleight of hand. A whole plethora of different topics. So this week we'll start off with magic musings. Then I'll talk to you about the magic news, what's been happening with new products and things that I've seen, things that have inspired me, things that you might be interested in picking up. And then I'll tell you what I've got planned for the rest of the week. And already this afternoon, I'm heading off to the city to film a new project, which I'll tell you more about towards the end of the show. So with that being said and done, let's dive into some magic musings. So if you follow the Black Art Podcast, if you're a listener of the Black Art Podcast, you'll know that my co-host is Jake Keane. the master of esoteric mentalism, the type of mentalism which isn't just your standard name, place, type routines, or let me just think, have you think of a card or I reveal it. Jake's style of mentalism leans heavily in towards like the ritualistic, the esoteric mysticism, as opposed to mentalism, the type of stuff that in certain countries would be classed as voodoo, and in certain periods of time would be considered real. And I love mysticism and magic that has this air of non-showmanship, which has this air of not the jazz hands type typical pick a card, vanish a coin magic. The type of magic where you just sort of dip your toe into the pond of the strange. And I've always loved that style of magic. It's always been sort of like the type of magic that when I got the opportunity to do it, I choose to do that in private and personal situations. But up until meeting Jake Keane, and him showing me just how much work he's developed on the subject, it wasn't up until that moment that I really like sort of devote a lot of time and energy into it. And for the past year or so, over a year, I sort of been drowning myself, just completely drenching myself, percolating in the world of the macabre style mysticism, which is phenomenal. And I'm so in love with it. But recently, and I think part of that was just due to as well, just looking at my YouTube channel alone, I think I've posted over 150 like visual magic gimmick style card trick coin vanish type tutorials, all created by me, not teaching anyone else's material, all ideas that I've thought of myself. Plus I create magic full time for a living. Plus I have a Patreon where I teach my best magic on there. And I think doing that for like 2.5 years, I kind of got burned out with that sort of style of magic for a little bit. So to be able to absorb myself into a new field, which I'm in love with and enamored by, and allow myself to become intoxicated by everything mystical, was just a really nice way to sort of freshen up my senses and sort of get out of a little bit of a rut that I was in. And then with all that being said and done, for the past couple of weeks now, I've been slowly sort of shaking the ring rust off, cracking the knuckles and stretching the limbs and delving back into the magic that I love most, first and foremost of all, which is just straight up, no need to explain it, no need to try and get someone to believe something is real, just straight up fun magic. The type of stuff where, like, I always spend so long thinking of, like, the perfect reasoning for why something should be in its place, or how can I, and for the past year especially, like how can I make someone believe what I'm doing isn't so much real, but not giving them an answer as to whether it's real or not, just sort of leaving it open-ended as a question. And that's all well and good, but sometimes you just want to slam a fucking phone into a bottle. Sometimes you want to just throw a playing card straight through a goddamn window because you can. Like, we are practitioners of the art of magic, and everything we do, nothing we do, makes sense. We tear playing cards up to put them back together again. We put a coin in our hand and then pull it out of someone's ear. Sometimes I take magic way too seriously, and I'm not, you know, I don't like to think of myself as a connoisseur of magic. But I also have caught myself in that trap of just becoming, you know, sort of too much in love with the smell of my own fart sometimes when it comes to like card tricks and coin tricks. And oh, I would never do that because I know it's beneath me to use sponge balls and an Omni deck. And you know, sometimes magic, like, I'd be saying this little mantra to myself in my head, and I'm not political in any sense. I'm in the UK for a start. I don't follow magic politics. But I've been saying this little slogan, and if somebody can come up with a better one for me, this would be a huge help. But I've been saying to myself, make magic fun again. And it's not that nobody else is doing it. It's just that my magic has become so dark and serious that I've just forgotten to just show someone something fucking cool. I am of a firm belief that the best magicians in the world are the ones that can adapt their magic to their audience. And even adapt their style of magic to the audience, not just the tricks. Like if someone loves maths, show them a magic square. If someone loves painting than you do a draw duplication, but more even like your style. I think we should be chameleons in a way. And for some people who believe in astrology and the zodiac and palm reading, and is there a spirit world, as long as you're not pretending to be a psychic medium and trying to contact someone's dead relative, which is just disgusting on too many different levels. But if you come across someone like that, who's just like somebody who wants to just fall down that rabbit hole with you, holding hands, then great. There's a time and a place and a people for that. But often you're hanging out with someone and they just want to see the fucking coin go in the bottle. And that's all right. That's completely all right. And you know, I'm a hermit. I'm sober off alcohol, 4 years coming up in August. And my life has gone from black to white. It happened overnight, essentially. I was working for a fucking terrible magic company. And probably the only like perk of that was that I would get to travel the whole world working with magicians on a regular basis. Every other weekend, I'd be in a different country, toes on a different beach in the sand. And so I'd be very, very social. Plus, I'd be going out partying because I was an idiot before I had kids. So I'd be socializing on that level. And also just the world was a different place, right? And on the spot, I quit the shit magic company. I gave up drinking, and the pandemic hit as well. So from being a social butterfly, flapping my little Welsh wings all over the world, I suddenly became a hermit. And with that, I've sort of dangerously, because it can be too dangerous to do this, but I've realized I love it. I love spending time at home with my own company, practicing, creating, and just not really getting out anywhere near as much as I used to, and definitely nowhere near as much as I should. But I tell you this is because when you fall into this trap, and if you're not aware of it, then sometimes you can fall too in love with the small stuff. For example, there's a whole subculture of magicians out there. And I know this is going to be offensive to some of them, and it's just, this is one of my sorry not sorries, potentially controversial opinions. I don't think it is if you really believe and love magic. But there's this whole like sub-category of magicians that are so far up their own arse, falling in love with their own sleight of hand. They spend, and this is, it's important that I state this, you have to be proficient at your sleight of hands and the mechanics of your work. But they spend so much time perfecting the perfect classic palm, and putting all their theory and philosophy, this is my philosophy behind the double lift, that they forget to develop a fucking personality and they forget to make their magic fun. So then you see them go out and perform, and they almost become like these robotic Dan and Dave style. You know, Dan and Dave are fantastic flourishers and skillful card men. But you watch them perform. I met one of them. I don't know which one it was. It was in San Diego. And lovely people, lovely person, Dan or Dave. But when you see them do magic, you know, it's, and I think this is part of like, I think this is kind of like part of what they're trying to achieve, which is if you remove your character, all that's left that can talk for you is the magic or the sleight of hand or the trick, which is okay to a certain degree. It's okay sometimes to let the artwork speak for itself. But for some people, or a lot of people, like for some people like Dan and Dave, when you are maestros, then I think it can work for you. And when you could do things that like not even other magicians can do, that is truly spectacular, then you can sort of, you know, take your foot off the gas a little bit and just be robotic. But for the large majority of the magic populace out there, or the subcategory of magicians that are just, like we call it, like in my inner circle, like the boys' club of magicians. Like there's like these preppy boarding school type magicians out there that are that think the magic they do is card magic caviar, and oh yes, well, my philosophy on the perfect Hofstra pass is to the Herman pass is to do it this way and just right at the right time, and then you watch them perform the most boring fucking four ace reveals you ever seen in your life, and the spectators are going, cool, I didn't see anything, but I also didn't feel anything, and it's just so important that, like, I say this because that's the trap I was falling into. I was sitting at home, as always, deck cards doesn't leave my hands inside the house. And I was sitting there just getting really deeply into, like, the philosophy of sleight of hand and trying to become a connoisseur of sleight of hand, trying to make my bottom deal perfect and make sure that nothing moves, nothing flickers. And like, there, like, you have to be proficient at sleight of hand, but you also have to be, you also have to spend more time, this is it, right? You need to spend more time considering the affect that you're having on someone with your magic and what you want to achieve or what you want them to feel, what's that, like, profound impact you want on them. You have to spend exponentially more time on that, I believe, than your sleight of hand. Because, and I think back about this, but I remember, like, being a teenager and going to a local bar and seeing a guy doing objectively bad magic, right? Like, in terms of skill and ability. And I'd seen this guy three or four, maybe five or six times. And maybe on, like, the third, fourth, or fifth time, I caught him classic palming a card out of the deck into his pocket, where I'd missed it every other time. And that was really only because I was more into magic. From a young age, I'd been into magic. But the guy was really fun, really entertaining. Like, he understood what made people tick. And then I've also seen the magicians out there, and you know, they are heralded by other card guys who are like, oh, this guy's the best. You want to see his work on the shift. It's phenomenal. And they look down their nose at people who do sponge balls and omni decks and what I consider to be magic. And I've seen them perform. And they fucking suck. Like, they just don't entertain. And this is the problem with this, right? Magic is at minimum a two-person event. Because if you're at home practicing a card trick, right? Let's say you're practicing the Biddle trick. Then inherently, it's not magic, and nor is it experienced as magic. Because you know how that trick works. So you cannot be astonished by it. And magic is real in the sense that it's an emotion, right? So, like, you can't not believe in the presence of experiencing magic if you don't believe in things such as, like, love and hate. And what I mean by that is, and I've spoken about this many times, but that what I mean by that is the moment, if you pretend to put a coin in your hand, you open your hand and someone sees that coin is gone, and it could be for a split second or it could be for the rest of their life, they have no explanation of how that's done. The very moment that kicks in, Paul Harris describes it as the moment of astonishment. Some people call it the moment of wonder. But the moment that happens, they experience that as magic. Because there is a depending on the person, there's a short or infinite, there's a finite or an infinite amount of time where they have no explanation, meaning that they don't think it was caused by anything man-made or any mechanical method. They believe that it disappeared by magic. That's an emotion, that's an experience, that is the emotion of magic. You can't deny they felt that. So arguably, magic, depending on how you categorize it, is real. And in this case, I categorize the experience or experiencing magic, that feeling, that emotion of magic, is real, which is undeniable when you put it that way. So magic is a two-person event. You can't experience magic at home on your own. So you can only experience magic, or someone can only experience magic when you show it to them, or somebody shows it to them. So if you're going out there and you're not bothered about somebody experiencing magic, you're just you're just you're just spending all your time and effort trying to perfect your sleight of hand and the mastery of the bottom deal or the diagonal palm shift with no finger flickers. And then you go out and you perform and no one, and they're just like, or they go, whoa, do you see how great his sleight of hand was? Then that's not magic. If that's your intention to basically you're intending to go out and display your skill. Well, if that's your intention, go and juggle. And I don't mean that in an offensive way. Go and become a pen spinner or a cup stacker. If your intention is to go out and display how skillful you are, keep magic out of the equation. Just cut out the middleman. And I am saying this as somebody who's been through that tunnel. Now hopefully out the other side, and you know it's peaks and valleys, and I go through these cycles. But spending too much time indoors and spending too much time sniffing my own farts when it comes to oh yes, but I can you see, I mean we're all guilty of it. If you've never sat down for like an hour just really getting into your double lift and thinking about, well, if I just shift the card to the, you know, if as soon as I do the double lift, if I move over here and drop my hand to the side so that the card is isolated and on its own, then they'll believe that there was never anywhere near the deck, or I can get them to have a false memory that it would, like, there is, it's important to think about that stuff, but it's important not to drown yourself in that stuff to the point where it becomes the only language you understand. So my personal motto has been, make magic fun again. I'm not a political person. I don't know anything about about American politics. I'm in the UK. I'm in Wales. I'm not even in England. So if anyone come up with a better slogan, I want to tattoo it on my skin. Put magic first. Remember magic. Magic over meaning or whatever it's going to be. A dope ass saying, I need, yeah, I'm 36. I just said dope ass. I'm humiliated for me. But I need to remember that. That's why one of the last tutorials I posted on my YouTube was I got a salt shaker filled with salt, I shook it and it turned into AirPods or a dice or something. And then I put one on my Patreon where I blew up a balloon, a white balloon, I squished it down and it turned into an AirPod case. And that's because in effort to get myself out of this this sort of boys club mentality, this too cool for school thinking about card tricks constantly, which was the sort of like the rut, the spiral I was getting myself into, I wrote a PDF and I put, and it was called No Fucking Card Tricks. And I just wrote down trick ideas, no methods, or some of them had methods, but no trick ideas. One was turn salt into AirPods, turn a balloon into AirPods, and a bunch of other crazy stuff. And my idea is I just got to go through them and create those and just have a bank of tricks that are just not boring fucking card tricks. Another episode I'm probably going to talk about why you should only do a small amount of card tricks if you're intent on doing magic and not just displaying how good you are at skill, then I think you should always mix up your magic. If you do, there comes a certain point where all card tricks blend into one, and it's so vital to in some way, shape, or form diversify that. And it sounds obvious when you say it out loud like this, but how many magicians do you know that only use a deck of cards, right? So that's this week's magic musing. I would love you to comment down below with a slogan for me, and the best one is going to be tattooed on my skin for the rest of my life. But to remind me to put magic first, to remind me to focus on the magic, remember the magic, whatever it's going to be, I'll tattoo it. I would love to tattoo it on the inside of my eyelids, but I'll stick it on my arm there. So that's this week's magic musing, which is just, you know, don't think you're too good to give someone a magic experience. I mean, I wouldn't be here today if people had shown me some of these boring card tricks that I see that like the best of the best doing, because they wouldn't have inspired me in the way that seeing something like David Blaine doing the bitten and restored coin did. So that's this week's magic musing. Now, I hope you're all still listening. I hope you're all still tuned in. As a reminder, hit that subscribe button or that follow button, whatever podcast platform you're on. And more importantly, hit the notification bell. Open up Spotify, open up Apple Podcasts, find the notification bell and ping it, because these are going to drop late night, 3 a.m. here in Wales in the UK, which is probably like 10 o'clock in California or New York. So not too late for you guys, but yeah, this is a late night radio show. So you're listening to 108.9 Trapdoor Radio. That was Magic Musing this week. Let's dive into what new products, what's been happening in magic that I'm interested in this week. And if you're watching this on YouTube, or if you're listening to this on a podcast, I'm going to be sharing my screen to go through a couple of the things that I've seen this week and play you some videos in the background as I'm talking about this stuff. So let's dive straight in. So first things first, we've got to talk about what dropped yesterday, which is Cyril Takayama on America's Got Talent performing Howie Mandel. And it didn't go as planned. It didn't, I mean, he performed perfectly. It's Cyril, but the judges didn't take it as we were all assuming it was going to go perfectly. So let's cover this. In the background, I'm going to play this clip. I'm going to skip forward a little bit. Basically, Cyril comes on stage, he's kneeling down. If you haven't seen this yet, I'll sort of briefly describe it. He's kneeling down on a Japanese-style set in a small Japanese table. He's got Howie Mandel also sitting cross-legged next to him on the floor. And he pulls out some chopsticks, lays them on the table. And the first thing he does is that he psychically or telekinetically moves these chopsticks with his shadow without touching them, apparently, right? And then he does a magical gesture and the chopsticks snap open. So he does that and then, they move open. Yeah, and they snap open, right? And Howie's like, whoa, what the F? What the F, David Blaine? And then Cyril goes straight from that into a card trick. He spreads the deck out onto the table, has Howie pick a card. I'm going to skip through this as I'm talking about it. Has Howie sign the card and dribbles the cards or places the cards on the chopsticks, dribbles them down, and then catches a card in the chopsticks. Kind of like Karate Kid catching a fly type effect. Really, really cool. Really visually, aesthetically pleasing to see. And he does this blindfolded too, just for the fuck of it, which is dope. And everyone gets up. Everyone starts cheering. They're erupting. People are going crazy. It's always funny, by the way, that it's the moment he turns the card around and shows that it's the selected signed card that gets people going. It's almost like I have thoughts on this for another video, but it's like if you ever watch James Brown's card in the box routine, there's a great moment where they're so conditioned that it's going to be their card, they react when it's not until you switch it in. And you can take a lot of advantage with this in other effects. But he does this, right? He grabs that card out of midair with this chopstick, with these chopsticks, and displays it, and the crowd goes fucking apeshit. Everyone's up on their feet. All the judges are like, woo, this is awesome. This is awesome. End of routine. Or not, because there's this moment of confusion between everyone where, and you can sort of see it in Cyril's posture and his positioning that, okay, this is over. He's holding his applause cue. He's got the stage training that sort of seems, at least to me, like the routine's done. And then he says, like, off to the side to Howie, want to see one more? And then the judges are like, Mel B and Simon are like, oh, he's not finished? What the fuck? And then Simon's like, oh, don't forget pacing. What is it? Where is his pacing? Like, oh, he's not thinking about the pacing. And now, from there, he proceeds to go into a card stab using a chopstick and the table tilted on its side with the same signed card, right? And it looks real. It just looks like real magic. It's awesome. As he's doing this, though, fucking Mel B and Simon Cowell both buzz him out. And they put their red crosses up for Cyril, one of the goats of magic, one of the greatest living magicians of all time. And it's bizarre to watch. It's almost like seeing, it's nearly as like, as gut-wrenching as watching Banachek on Joe Rogan, which we should probably cover an entire episode on, because that is one of the hardest things I've ever had to watch as a magician. But yeah, basically they go on to say, like, I thought the trick was done. I thought this was really cool. But why did you carry on? You know, you need to, and they sort of, I think it's Simon sort of starts to say, like, you know, you need to understand stage pace in, and he's trying to like educate Cyril on it. And the comments then, right? So eventually he gets through by the skin of his teeth. Simon says no. Mel B is going to say no, but her daughter and the crowd sort of convince her to say yes. So he gets three yeses, but he was just seconds away from getting a no. The second no, which means he wouldn't have got through. Fucking Cyril Takayama, who I would have thought would have got the golden buzzer. And I got thoughts on the routine as well. For Cyril, and you see all the visual crazy shit we've seen Cyril do and is capable of. I think, and please don't destroy me, but like, I think, like, there's some unforgettable things. He could have just pulled out like his coin through glass table. If he brought a table onto the stage, why not make it his glass table and do his famous coin through glass table routine, which to this day, I still kind of fit. I want to believe it was real. It's so good. Like, he could have just done that. One of the classics. He could have pulled a burger out of the sign. Taking a card trick to a stage with a 5,000-seated crowd audience, although it was a pretty good card trick, clearly, you don't need to take my word for it, but clearly something didn't work there. So anyway, the comments beneath it are, this guy, Daniel Fernandez, this guy's been a legend in the magic world for a long time. I wish the judges weren't so rushed. Cyril is the magic legend from Paz Magic. Luca Volpe, I honestly think the judges had no idea who they had in front of them. Cyril is in the business from more than some of the judges. Shin Lim says, Cyril. And then I'm going through. And then someone said, Edwin Todd, who's in the Lux trailer. Are you joking? Saying one of the most famous magicians in the world has potential is crazy. And it is crazy. Patrick Kuhn, a magician that got me started in magic. Glad we can finally share the same stage. Best of luck, Cyril. But there's one comment that I wanted to point out, which is like, he is a legend in the magic. Adriano, he's a legend in the magic circle. The judges should respect his act and watch the whole act to judge if it's good or not, rather than saying the pace is too long. Just like saying a song, singing a song, will they say too long in the middle of the song? This act was performed beautifully and was built into the climax. Look forward to seeing more. And there's a few more comments along this line, which is like saying, you know, hey, don't they know Cyril's a legend? They need to respect him. But this is the thing. Clearly, they don't realize the gravitas that Cyril brings. Same with like Banachek on Rogan. Yeah, no, to Rogan, Banachek was just another mentalist off the streets, or, you know, somebody who had a bit of a thing behind him, a bit of momentum behind him. I don't think any magician that goes on that stage, I don't think any performer that goes on that stage to audition should be given immediate or more respect than any other act. I think they need to be going there, and I think it's good that he wasn't treated as a legend before the act started getting going. I think it's good that he went on essentially blind to the judges, because otherwise it's not fair. You're giving him more respect because you know what he's capable of, not what he's doing right now, live on stage. So it's interesting to see that, and it's interesting to see people saying, oh, he should have automatically sort of been given that respect. As always, Cyril, phenomenal. I think ultimately you look at like Harry Molding, I think it's just one. Britain's Got Talent. You look at what he did for his auditions. He if you haven't seen him on Britain's Got Talent, he basically got a random audience member picked out. They looked at the screen. There was a thing where they somehow, he was a video of him in Paris. He stops a stranger on the street. The stranger reveals the number the audience member was thinking of, but it also happened to be that the strangers on the street in Paris was the person in the audience's boyfriend, and she was like, what? And then he appears and proposes to her, and I like, that is not my style of magic, but fuck me, he made headline news all over the media. People that I know that are laymen that watched it thought it was phenomenal. On Twitter, as always, they were calling out the method and you know, complaining, because Twitter is the land of trolls. But ultimately, it was sensational, and he went on to win it. I don't think anyone's going to disagree with me by saying Cyril's act comparatively when this guy went off and made an event. And I'm not saying Cyril should have gone and found people to get married. But we know what Cyril's capable of. Cyril is capable of being sensational in his own way. And I don't know, I very much doubt he just thought he was going to get through off his own legend. But he absolutely wasn't sensational. That was a great, solid magic performance. He did some cool telekinetic stuff with chopsticks, and he used those in conjunction with two card stab style effects that were technically perfect. This is America's Got Talent. You've got the, you know, essentially not just all of the viewing audience, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of Americans watching, but it also goes on YouTube. Now, I can't say this full wholeheartedly, but because I would never do it. I would never, ever go on a magic show. Anytime I've been asked to have my own, I've been asked 3 times to be the face of TV shows here in the UK. I've turned them all down. I have no interest in being on television or famous to lay people for magic. But if I had a gun to my head and someone said, Lloyd, you will be auditioning for America's Got Talent this year, your life depends on it. Or even if it wasn't my life depend on it, but Lloyd, you have to, for whatever reason, I would be coming up and I have to win it, right? Because I'm not entering if I don't want to win. I would be doing something fucking sensational. I would have 3 acts ready for the qualifying round, the semifinals, and the live. And you bet your bottom dollar that each part of those acts, there would be something sensational about it. And maybe this is because, maybe I'm seeing this through tinted glasses because I've just put myself on this new path of no fucking card tricks. And at some point, card tricks all become the same card trick sort of ethos. But yeah, I mean, amazing to see the new material that Cyril's working on. I know that Avi Yap, one of the nicest, the coolest, the fucking most creative and skillful new era magicians, was one of the consultants for him, working with him backstage. The magic was technically perfect. I just feel like, I don't know, maybe he felt like, you know what? I'm fucking Cyril. This is going to win. And he has every right to do that and think that. Not that I'm assuming that. But also, when we see the standard of, like, you look at like Harry Mulder, I think he'll admit himself, he's no Cyril Takayama. He hasn't won FISM. He hasn't, you know, got critical acclaim globally. And you know, he's a younger guy. He doesn't have the same technical ability as Cyril. And you know, all the stuff that comes with being Cyril. But he understood that the fucking level that you need to be at to be on these shows is up in the stratosphere, and he won it. So loved seeing Cyril, hated seeing him getting booed by the judges and X'd out, but extremely happy that he got through. And I don't think he's the type of person that would be heartbroken about this. I think Cyril seems like the type of person that's going to go, I've got to fucking bring my A game next time. I'm going to be better. I'm going to dust myself off, and I'm coming back at them with a full arsenal of weaponry to blast this thing. I don't think he's one of these people that gets butt hurt and goes, oh, well, but I'm Cyril. He's a badass. He fucking knows what he's to do. I think he's going to come back, and he's just going to leave everyone's jaws on the floor. So this is my prediction. The next time you see Cyril, it won't be a card trick. It'll be something insane, and it'll be something that has us all go in, we were wrong. Mark my words. So that's one thing that I saw this week, or yesterday. Actually, I saw this at like 6 a.m. this morning. The next thing I saw, and we can't not talk about it, it's a new product called One Card from the legend, one of my heroes, one of the greatest magic creators of all time, Danny Garcia. This is classic Garcia thinking, classic Garcia perfection. And I'm going to play it in the background. If you watch it on YouTube, let me explain to you the effect. You take a semi-transparent envelope with a paperclip over it, and you hold it up, and you say, I want you to essentially name a card. They name a playing card. You remove the paperclip. You unfold the envelope, and they can see through it. There's one folded up card in there. As you tip it out and take it out, it is the exact playing card. And this is, for all intents and purposes, a perfect piece of magic. It's got great thinking. The envelope idea, that's the part that I think I love most about this, is the envelope idea. That little convincer of seeing it before the work happens is just like chef's kiss. And also then it comes with a 16-card index. And I'm a massive, I'm a lover of indexes. I have my own. I have a bunch of different ones. I sort of interchange them depending on the effect that I'm going to go to. I was using the Quibble Compact, was it 12 or 16 card index quite a while. I recently gave that to Laura London in Blackpool because she needed it for a show. And this one from Garcia, this index is a slimline index for 16 cards, I believe it is, designed by somebody who was a designer for Nike. So you can see immediately that it's amazing. And it looks insane. The index just looks cool. And I haven't got one, haven't got the product yet, but I just know from the amount of people I've spoken to that it's literally so well made that it hurts. Now, here's the thing. Garcia showed on his Instagram that he has some visual handlings of this gimmick. And personally, that's how I'd be using it. He shows that you can like visually change the envelope into the card and do some other cool things. Because, and this is like slightly hard for me to say, but if I'm going to have a card paper clipped, then I'm going to use Jay Sankey's paper clipped effect to switch the card out. The way in which I would use this is either the visual method, or I would direct the audience's attention to think that there was something else entirely in that envelope before the, so basically I would lead them down a different path and then sort of shock them that like I would maybe write on the envelope forfeit or booby prize or I don't know, spare change or some reason to have an envelope here that makes them think that it's not the card, so that when I do open the envelope, then it's like, oh, I wasn't expecting it to be there. Because if the intention is that it's going to be there and fold you the entire time, then you can cut out the middleman and just use Sankey's paperclip. However, that being said, this does allow you to do that. You could put whatever you want on that envelope. You can write whatever script and story you want. What Garcia is presenting you here is just the streamlined, perfect handling of basically, here's a sealed in this envelope as a playing card. Name one centrally, and there it is. I just think when I'm performing it, if I was to perform it, I would vary up the routine to just sort of take their mind away that there could be a card in that envelope, so that when I do open it, it's a bit of a, oh, okay. And just from doing a lot of work with indexes, I would personally change the moment that I used the index. I would actually, and it's massively up for debate, and Garcia's got some great thinking on why he times it this way, but for me, I would use the index before removing the paperclip, as opposed to doing it the other way around. That's just a purely personal preference thing. I've done a lot of stuff like this. Me and Javier are working on a thing that again uses an index, and I found it just in my limited experience that the rearranging of the timing allows you to get that ultra clean finish for the last 25% of the effect. But all that being said and done, I'm never not going to be hyped when Garcia comes out with a new trick. The thing is, when you get a Garcia product or project, you're always going to learn something that you didn't know before going in. He is a master of the craft of creativity and performing. He has so much more performing experience than I'll ever have. So, you know, me saying I would switch the timing up is because I'm a weaker performer, probably. But yeah, so one card from Danny Garcia. What else can I say? It's absolutely phenomenal. Next up, we have Archon from my friend Cav Booth, which is, as you know me, I love any card at any numbers. I love any card at any numbers that uses phones in some sort of way, shape, or form. I have multiple apps out that do ACANs with it, one of them being Maxim, which is a full ACAN app. There's a bunch of different things. And this, so in short, let me tell you what this is. You direct a spectator to a website and you say, look, I want you to randomly select cards and numbers. This website generates random numbers over and over and over and over, and random playing cards over and over and over. Just settle on a combination that you like and just go for gold, essentially. So they do. And they end up on a card and a number that they never would have potentially thought of, or a combination they never would have thought of off their own back. They then take the deck. You never, ever touch it. They deal down, and the card is perfectly at that number. And, I mean, it's 2025. People have been searching for perfect ways of doing, motivated ways of doing ACANs. This is one of them. This is totally, when somebody walks away from seeing this, they go in to say, holy fuck, I thought of any card. I picked any number. I picked any card. Completely free choice. I was holding the deck. I dealt down. It was there. Phenomenal. I mean, the only thing you need to work on is your reasoning for that, for them randomizing the card and the number, which, as you already know from the Atomic deck, I have no issue with things like this. Now, I believe that this was inspired, and I could be wrong, but there was a guy on the Atomic deck Facebook group called Joko, I think, and he has essentially the same thing. So a couple of months ago, he made this app or this website where, and it's for the Atomic deck, where you randomly generate a number, you randomly generate a card. And if you know how the Atomic deck works, it's always the cards will only ever be in 0% positions, which is for double thumbs up. And so this is essentially the same thing, pretty much identically, to be honest with you. But now you don't need, the Atomic deck. You can just do it with a normal deck. And I actually think it's great. Now, ironically, I've also been working on a website like this, but mine is more of a bridge between Maxim and Joko's idea. I don't have the random number generation bit. So with my one, they just randomly generate playing cards. So basically there's a website that you use for training your memory. It'll show you as many cards as you want. And then the idea is that it's for a test that you try and recall them in order for like playing blackjack and stuff. And with my one, they randomly skip through playing cards and they stop on one. They're holding the deck the entire time. There's no Atomic deck. It's just a regular deck. But with my one, the interesting thing is that they can change the card they land on. So like they name a number, and let's say they say 24, and then they randomly generate a card or flick through cards, they get to one, and then they can change their mind. And they can change their mind again and again and again, over and over and over, and they can genuinely settle on... Oh, like they can just change and 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 change until they're happy, which I believe is a totally different method to Cavs, and you know, it's something I've already put out in Maxim. But there are also, you know, there are pros and cons to what I'm working on too. So I think it's great. Because I know a lot of people love the inclusion of a website with the Atomic deck. I know a lot of people loved what Joko's edition was. And for some people, the only problem with the Atomic deck was the Atomic deck itself. I got to say, I hats off to Cav. I think this is a phenomenal solution, and it's available from Murphy's Magic, or go to Cav's YouTube and you can find out all the stores that it's available from. Absolutely phenomenal. Highest recommendation. And Cav is a great guy. I've met him in person properly the first time in Blackpool, and we just hit it off like a house on fire. And yeah, I think you should be supporting one of the good guys out there. And if you want to see my one, it's coming at some point. It's like finished, but I need to record the video for it. It'll be to all my full paying Patreon members. It'll be free to you guys on there, probably like less than a week. So go and sign up to my Patreon, become a full member, get all the, I think it's just under 50 exclusive tutorials that are my best ever tricks. They're way too good for YouTube. There's masterclasses on there. There's a full live lecture on there. There are other web apps on there. I don't really advertise the content of it, but you'll get all that plus the new ACAN site from me, which is a real fooler when you perform it, and even for magicians as well. So if you're interested in that, go and sign up for my Patreon. But absolutely, if you can't wait, whether you can wait, pick up Archon, because I think it solves a lot of problems that have existed over the past few months, even with other ACATs. Very, very good. So the next thing I want to talk about is a subcategory, it's a category within a category, and it's Mark Elsden's Metabolic Fig. It's a weekly newsletter, goes out every Sunday, written by Mark Elsden. You have to pay for it. Not very expensive at all. But on there, every week he'll send you out his write-up of the best products that are out on the market that week or coming up with the inside scoop and his reasons why he likes them. And he'll also detail you to other things that are just inspirational or magic related, right? Including like things like the playlist he listens to when he writes this blog. And one of the things that was in the Metabolic Fig this week was a link to a documentary called Resurrect Dead. Nothing to do with magic. I watched it. Absolutely fucking phenomenal. It's about, you've all been around the world and you see like random signs that are like street art, but then you see them in another place and you think, oh, who is the person doing that? Well, these are about the Toynbee tiles that appeared in the floor of the road on like highways, in the middle of a highway, tiles like chipped into the actual ground in the middle of the road that have started appearing in Philadelphia, then appeared all over the world in like Brazil and other countries, all over the US. And it's some guy who's like, who the fuck is putting these in the ground, like in the middle of a busy highway tunnel, in the middle of a street, in the middle of New York, outside Times Square? Who's doing this? And it's basically the hunt to try and find who the hell is putting these here. And it's just an incredible mystery that they try and uncover in this documentary. It's really fast paced. The best recommendation I can give to this is that I didn't even go on my phone when I was watching it, which is unheard of, even for me. This is pure mystery, pure entertainment, and very, very, very magic encompassing, but not magic. Called Resurrect Dead. I think the whole thing's on YouTube. I'm going to see if it's here. I'm clicking on it now on screen. The whole documentary is on YouTube.
Thing about it.
Go and watch it. It's phenomenal. But I say this because if you're not signed up to Mark Elsden's Metabolic Fig, and I don't have it up here in front of me how you can go and sign up to it, search Mark Elsden, Metabolic Fig, sign up to it, you will get the inside scoop. Mark somehow gets the inside scoop on so many things for so many people, and he's one of the most best, well-read living magicians, so he knows everything about anything about everything that lives on this planet. It gets my absolute highest of the high recommendation. Mark Elsden, Metabolic Fig. And every single week I see something new which completely inspires me. And it's half the reason why, it's more than half the reason why I started recording this podcast today, because I was like, oh, I want to do my own mystery show, whatever it's going to be. And in this documentary, they talk about like a radio show that gets broadcast in the middle of the night in like the 80s. And I was like, oh, you know, I just got to do it. I got to get it out of my soul because I just need to be creative. Thanks to this. So shout out to Mark Elsden, shout out to the Metabolic Fig and the Resurrect Dead documentary. The last thing I wanted to just quickly put on people's radar, because I don't own it, but it's Lewis Laval's, on his website, Mindhouse, haus.co.uk, a storytelling blueprint. It's a lecture, video lecture, 40 quid. Lewis is one of the best storytellers in magic, but he tells like modern mentalism stories. And what I say by modern is that nothing feels cheesy. They know like, oh, then the four kings walked into the bank. He is a storyteller. And I've been waiting so long to learn how he does it, to learn from the best. There are two full shows actually from Lewis Laval on YouTube. One's called The Witch in the Woods, and the other one's called Seance. Now, both live parlor shows that are recorded at the Oracle Bar in Liverpool and streamed in full on YouTube. Go and watch it. Go and watch how Lewis performs. Go and see how incredible he is. And if you want to learn how to just better your presentational skills, how you speak, how you how you teach or how you talk or tell stories. I haven't watched it, but I'm assuming it's brilliant because it's Louis Laval. And I think all of us, no matter if you're Darren Brown, even if you're Louis Laval, we all need to be better. I don't tell scripts with my magic. I have loose placeholders in place. But I need to be a better orator. I think that's the word, orator. I need to be, we all need to improve. No matter how good you are, you're not good enough. And to see him work and the way he holds the audience in the palm of his hand in a room, dark, quiet room lit by candles with 50 people sat on little chairs, and there's not, you could literally hear a pin drop because of one man telling you a story that you cannot turn your ears away from. Who wouldn't want to be able to captivate an audience like that? Whether you're doing Bitten and Restored Coins or whether you're doing McDonald's Aces. So the last thing on this week's sort of what to watch out for section is Storytime Blueprint by Louis Laval. I'm going to pick it up later in the week. I want to get some time and I'm going to watch it. With all that being said and done, there's obviously a bunch of other stuff that's come out this week. But for now, clock's ticking. I need to get ready for a train. I need to get ready to go to Cardiff to film. So that leads me perfectly on to the last section of the 108.9 Trapdoor Radio Show this week, which is what's new? What am I working on? What projects do I have my sticky little fingers in the pies of? And what can you expect from me in the coming few weeks? So like I said, I am just about to drive into the city to meet up with a friend of mine. I can't tell you what the project is or what it's about, but this is something that everyone that's seen it so far, magicians and mentalists, have said, fuck me, that is the best solution to this that I've ever seen. And it's one of those things that every single person that's seen it said, I want it. Well, anyway, this is now going to become a global Murphy's release, and we're shooting the project over the next few days in Cardiff City Centre. So if you are around in Cardiff, depending on our time schedule, you may be able to come and hang out with us. We've got this gorgeous, gorgeous, like Victorian Chesterfield style couches and leather couches sort of Airbnb that we're going to shoot in. We're heading there. We're going to teach it, get some B-roll and some photography done. We've got our good friend, Lord Harry Harrington, who you'll be hearing a lot more of over the next year, Welsh creator. We've got him coming down to be the star of the trailer because the person, the artist that we're filming with is very similar to me in a sense that, like for me, I'm confident. I've performed on stage. I've lectured to 1,000 people. I have done public speaking. No issues with it. I perform quite regularly when I'm out. I have no issues with performing. But magic for me on a deep level is not about being the showman. It's not about saying, look what I can do. And you'll have heard me talk about this as long as I've existed online, that I will never go up to someone and ask them to see a magic trick. My magic is always conversational. It's always situational. So walking up to strangers on the street to try and perform magic on them, especially with a big camera crew and rig set up there, is just kryptonite to me. It makes my whole central nervous system shut down and it disagrees with everything I believe in when it comes to magic. And it's very similar to the artist as well, but I love seeing people who do that. It's like, just because I don't sing in a rock band doesn't mean I don't fucking love rock music. Just because I'm not a rapper doesn't mean I don't constantly listen to 80s hip hop. And it's the same with this. I don't personally walk up to strangers and perform, but I fucking love people who do. And Harry is somebody who has cut the mustard, who's he's done his 10,000 hours. He's cut his teeth on the mean streets of Wales performing, and he is so down to get out there and perform this new project on the people of Cardiff in Wales. So Harry's going to go out and I'm going to shoot him perform this trick, belt in some faces with what it is. And that's how I'm going to be spending this wet, by the looks of it, wet, stormy weekend here in Wales. So that's the first thing I'm up to. Secondly, you've already probably seen it by now, is the first teaser for the Savant deck went up, which was a little funny tongue-in-cheek thing. And I can tell you, if you're on my Patreon as a full paying member, then you'll already see some of the uncut performances of what the Savant deck can do. Thank you to everyone that has left those comments. Just be like, how the fuck does this work? And we're very, very conscious at the moment of trying not to hype things. And it's such a, so this is the magic music we can talk about in another episode. But I say hype in the loosest terms. We work on these projects, we put our heart and souls into them. And then when it comes time to getting ready to release them, we're excited, we're proud, we want the world to know. I went back and I looked at Lux recently, one of the best selling products I've ever put out. The feedback from people that have it and use it and talk about like professional magicians around the world, people like Dynamo calling me up, I've just performed this on Guy Ritchie, I've just performed this on the Beckhams, this is Lloyd, like just blowing me away with praise. I got an email from a guy called Brandon Ellis, another YouTuber actually the day, that just got a high paying job because he performed Lux in his interview. I'll actually read the email out in another episode, but he just, I'd never met this guy, never spoken to him before, just got an email out of the blue saying, I just want to thank you, Lloyd, for Lux, because I just got myself a high paying job because I performed this on the interviewer and then I performed it on the owner of the company and I got this job. So I just, you know, really, really, really flattering, really, really humbling. But I went back and looked at the trailer the other day because I was thinking about trailer inspiration and how to edit some stuff, and all the comments and even on the cafe, people just talking absolute shit about the campaign that led up to it. And it's one of those double-edged swords. It's like, well, potentially, would it have done so well and been as successful as it was and still to this day is if we didn't get the whole world talking about it? Or was it detrimental? And has it actually not succeeded as much as it even should have because of the hype campaign? I have my own thoughts on hype. I love it. You don't have to look at it. If another company's out there going saying, this thing is awesome, we can't wait to see what it is, but we're keeping it all hidden and under wraps until launch day, if that would annoy me, I would just click off the video. But we live in the world of online. And now everyone has the ability to go, I fucking hate this. I don't know what it is, and I fucking hate that you're not telling me. It's like that old Ricky Gervais joke about walking down the street and seeing an advert for guitar lessons. You pull the thing off and someone rings up and goes, I don't fucking want guitar lessons. It's like, well, walk past, walk on. If I like the build-up, I like the excitement around new Magic. I think one of the most exciting times in Magic for me was the build-up to the announcement of Theory 11. What is Theory11.com? Secretly teasing all those artists and not giving us any information other than like the tiniest little snippets. The whole idea of uncovering that mystery through the source codes and the treasure hunt, that was the fun. That was what Magic's all about. Mystery, deception, red herrings, and looking for clues. Like that is a big part of Magic to me. And so when people complain, oh, I just hated that they didn't tell us anything, because there were also like competitions and little secret things hidden around for Lux that you could find if you watched the teaser videos and everything. If that's not for you, don't get involved with it. But I just think there's such a weird world, and that now people just actively complain about that stuff. It's like, dude, you know that on every phone you can just swipe out, you can just click and close the window, you can just go and watch, you know, you can go and watch NSYNC videos and do anything else if it's not for you. So we're very reluctant to hype up the Savant deck, and we're saying, look, it's a gimmick deck of cards. And it can do some really cool card tricks. If that sounds fun, come along to the live event on June the 24th on the Murphy's Magic YouTube channel. If you're not interested in that type of stuff, or you think that's too much hype, cool. See you later, man. Like, there's loads of other cool things happening. Please go and check them out. And we're only doing this like 2 weeks before the trick. I was saying in the video, like, this little tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic little skit that we made. But, like, movies are advertised a year in advance, like 28 years later. Look at how long GTA's been announced in advance. Look at like Cyberpunk. And someone said, yeah, but these are announced in advance because you know they're good. No, you don't. Cyberpunk came out and it was hated. You look at that space, that Astro game, whatever it was called, where you could fly around like the universe. And it came out and people didn't like it. And this 28 years later film, which I'm excited for, it might suck. So it's not guaranteed to be good. It's just we want to we're excited, we're proud. We want people to talk about it. We want people to get involved. And this is a strange thing. Because I work for Murphy's as an employee, I'm on a salary. I don't make any commission. I don't make any royalties. I don't even have, because I'm part of the project team, I don't even have to release tricks. my income is the same, whether I release tricks or not. I'm only putting this stuff out for passion. So anybody that says I'm doing this for hype and sales and money, they're wrong. I literally don't get anything from it. It just, if anything, it means extra time. Because if I'm working with an artist, I can finish their project and move on to the next one. But when I'm personally involved in one, I have to keep being actively involved in that. So the only reason that we get excited and hype, I say that with like rabbit ears and hype these things up, it's because we're fucking proud of them. We think they're fucking awesome. Same with Dex, same with Lux. All these things come out, and I mean, I can see it in retrospect, like with hindsight now, like people hate the product sometimes before they even get them. And when they get them or they hear of people, they feel jaded because these people that don't like hype are already annoyed. So we are conscious of that. We get it. We hear you. We're listening. So we're saying to you, this is a gimmick deck of cards and it can do card tricks. Some of them are really fooling. Some are just pretty standard tricks. If you're into that stuff, come and check it out. If not, this is not a hype campaign. But we also just don't want to show you. We also don't want to blow our load until the day it comes out. I think that's fair. So that's dropping on the 24th of June. There's going to be a Murphy's YouTube live event with me, Craig, and Bo hosting. I'm going to live on YouTube for a while, which is something I need to do in another Sunday service. But I'd have to change the times up maybe because of chaos life. And then the other thing that I can talk about, which is close to completion, is I'm really humbled, and you can actually see it in the comments in different places that people are talking about my cohort gaff deck that I made. And not everything I put out is good. Everyone has hits and misses, and I don't even believe I'm a very good creator. So when I do get something that comes out and people love it. It helps chip away that imposter syndrome that I constantly live with that little bit more. But one of the most proudest things I ever put out was the cohort gaff deck. And there was a in-depth review of the best or all 16 gaff decks that exist on the market. I think it's by the Magic Orthodoxy. And there's been other ones as well. And the cohort gaff deck that I created won, was first place. I'm really proud of that because I set out to do something that had never been done with the effects in that gaff deck to really like push the boundaries and change the way people perceive what gaff cards should be. I tell you all this because I sound really arrogant saying it. I also am the creator of Pro Caps, which didn't turn out as I was hoping it would. I also have put out some absolute stinkers like Maverick when I was 16 years old. I am consciously aware that I am the guy that, not through my own decisions in the marketing, but I also am the guy that had a trick called Change, which was marketed that was going to change Magic forever, when in my opinion it should have been put out midweek as a fun camera trick, but the powers that be decided it's different. So that kind of jaded me from the start. So I am aware that I'm not the best or even good, but I'm really proud of the gaff deck. And I tell you this because for the past nearly 3 years, myself and Craig Petty have designed a new gaff deck from the ground up, and they are in the Murphy's warehouse. So that's coming really soon. That's a complete exclusive, unless Craig's told 3,000 people already, which generally seems to be the case. We had an unlisted YouTube link for the full Savant deck trailer, which is 9 minutes long. I said, Craig, share this with a couple of people, a handful of people, so you can get product quotes is what you do. I looked like overnight, there was 60 views on it. So over 60 people had seen that trailer. Thanks, Craig. Love you. Little bastard. Anyway, that's what I'm up to. That's what's coming up. That's what's exciting. As always, multiple other things going on. But I think 3 interesting teasers should be enough to wet your whistle for the time being. And again, the new ACAN sort of app or special website dropping on my Patreon probably in the next 7 days. I think you guys are going to love it. I think you're going to fucking love the method. And I think even it's going to fool quite a lot of people just purely by the nature of them being able to name a number, randomly generate a card, and then change their mind over and 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 over. And you never touch the deck, you know, complete the deck, and there's no gimmicks or gaffes in the deck, and it'll work. So, yeah, I'm hyped for that. I haven't got a name for it yet. So, answers on a postcard. Drop a comment down below. And like I said, This is 108.9 Trapdoor Radio. I hope you've all been enjoying this late night 3 a.m. broadcast. I'm very aware that launching it at 3 a.m. is gonna damage the views, but I'm keeping with the spirit of the show. So hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button, but most of all, hit that notification bell, because if it drops in the middle of the night and you wake up in the morning and you've got a bunch of other notifications on top of it, you will just, you don't have any notifications, you won't see it, it'll get buried. So thank you all for listening to episode 1. I will be back next week in the early hours of Friday morning at 3 a.m. So basically Thursday, but at 3 a.m. in Friday morning kind of thing. It'll be Thursday if you're in America. So late night Thursday. And you can listen to more of my conscious, mindless babble about all things related to magic and the mysterious. Until next time, folks, I've been your host, Lloyd Barnes. You'll hear me all next week.
There's a beginning, and an end.
You're listening to 108.9 FM. Adjust your frequencies, fine-tune your mind and brains as you prepare to fall through the trap.
The universe.